Hello, everybody. This is the Love and Purity Podcast. We are rebranding and shooting out a new some new content. It's the same message with a little bit of a twist, a spin, right? And so we're doing the video. If you're hearing this on the Love and Purity Podcast, then you can go over to YouTube and now you can see it out there as we're putting the video out there. And we're excited over the next couple weeks to be shifting into a little bit bigger crowd, hopefully. So I'll be looking out for that, and we're excited for this new series, Love and Purity in the Torah portion. So we're going to get into that. This is Braden Waller. I have him. He's in the flesh with me today. And we're excited to be bringing you some more content, some more of the Love and Purity message. And so, yeah, changing the name back to just Love and Purity, making it all kind of seamless, and trying to get that Love and Purity message out there. So Braden had on his heart to bring us the message of bringing out the love and purity out of the Torah portions. And so he's going to share with us some verses and ideas, and we'll be going through this over the next year. I think we're going to try and do this. And so excited about that. And what do you have for us, Braden? How you been?
Yeah, great to be on. I'm excited about getting the message out. You know, it's always been Aaron and I's hearts just to, how do we get this message out to the world? And so we're excited to be getting into this. The Torah, you know, we know is the foundational.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, The most every core doctrine or core truth of the Bible, you can find its roots in the Torah. Mm. And so I was like, why don't we just do a love and purity, you know, pull out these themes from the Torah portions of love and purity. And so that's what our goal is here with this series. And I thought it was neat as I looked into this this week's Torah portion. It's actually Kedoshim, which is holy. It's this first verse in the portion is, Leviticus 19, chapter 1, or Leviticus chapter 19, verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." And so I thought this was an appropriate verse.
That's all of the podcast.
to kick off on. But this is our hearts, is to encourage God's people to walk in holiness. You know, Peter, he says, "I beg you as pilgrims to abstain from fleshly lust that war against your soul." And so we know in our world today, there are these bombardments. There are these so many distractions coming against us. They're trying to destroy our souls.
Yeah.
And it's all these fleshly lusts is warring against us. And so our goal as a ministry is really to encourage God's people to say, let's go a different direction. Let's walk in this Leviticus 19 verse 1 calling to be holy, even as God himself is holy. What a high calling.
Amen.
That is.
Yeah.
I mean, wow, we can't get any more holy than that.
Yeah, I was just thinking another one of our verses, you know, for this is the will of God. This is out of 1 Thessalonians. This is the will of God, your sanctification. Like sanctification and holiness, you know, that's part of our mission, is to encourage the body, to exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest you be hardened to the deceitfulness of sin.
Right.
And so our prayer is that as we put out this message, that you would be encouraged to open your heart before the Lord, to allow him to do a work in you and transform us from the inside out, and not the outside in. You know, I think what comes out of our heart, you know, comes out of our mouth, is what we've been learning a lot with our interns in the Harp and Farm program. And so that truth is just, it's undeniable, the connection between our heart and our words. And so just giving God the glory that as he is, so he desires for us to be, right? He wants us to be with him, that we may be like him, right?
Yeah.
And so that was our heart here. And so I'm excited about this series, looking into this and sharing with you what the Lord's showing us.
Yeah. So Kedoshim, you probably hear many of you are connect that word to Kadosh, you know, the 24 elders, the heavenly hosts, they're saying day and night, holy, 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 Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. So in Hebrew, whenever you have im at the end of a word, it's making it plural. So in this verse here in Leviticus 19, verse 1, it's saying, "You shall be holy." That word there is Kedoshim. It's saying, "You, the children of Israel." I love how it points out all of you. You know, speak to all the congregation. So that's not, you know, just for the priest, not just for, you know, a certain segment of the society, but everyone is called to walk in holiness. "You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." Mm. And so I just see in this God's heart for fellowship with his people. You know, he is holy. He wants to dwell in the midst of the people of Israel. Here we, you know, that Leviticus is all about the sacrifices, starting out in the beginning of it. It's about how to draw near to God. Mm-hmm. And so he's saying, I want you to be holy so that you can have fellowship with me because I am holy. I can't dwell among,
right?
I can't dwell in the midst of unholiness.
Yeah.
I need you to walk in holiness.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about, you know, Moses, you know, he was on the mountain with the Lord, you know, and he was at a level of holiness that none of the other people were, right? And but that was God's heart and desires for the whole nation to be holy, right? So the Lord's not calling, you know, leaders of your community, leaders of your church, the leaders of ministry to be the ones that are carrying this vision of holiness. He's wanting the body, you know, every single one of us to pursue a life of holiness and to encourage one another in that. You actually even hear the rebellion of Korah, right? He said, don't you know the whole congregation is holy, right? Because he was rebuking Moses for what he felt like was putting himself above the people, which was not the case, right? And what he spoke was the truth. He spoke the truth, right? And that the whole congregation, God's desire is for the whole congregation to be holy. So this is should be each one of us and all of our a personal mission to allow God to make us holy, to purify us, not to shy away from that or to say that that's the leaders, you know, that's the elders, that's the bishops or whatever term you use for leaders in your congregation. It's for each one of us to take on, I shall be a holy people before the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. So good. So I wanted to look at a few passages from the New Testament and just encouraging us because, like I said, the Torah has these foundational truths, but then we see the New Testament really unpacking and going deeper into these truths. So let's take a look at a few verses. We've got Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So this is, Paul is telling us in Romans here, this is just your reasonable service to walk a holy life. Sometimes we could think, you know, what a sacrifice. You know, I can't go along with all the fun things the world's doing. But this verse says, this is just our reasonable service. God is worthy. God is a holy God. He's calling us to walk in holiness.
Yeah. Amen. Kadosh.
Yeah. Ephesians 1:4. I love this verse here. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And I love how this verse just ties together this understanding that we're walking in holiness before him in love. It's not out of a just, you know, just check the box, you know, we're going to do these list of rules and apart from a heart that is wanting to be in love with God. And so as we seek to walk in holiness, as we seek to, you know, holiness, the word holy actually just means set apart.
Amen.
So we're called to be in the midst of this world. We got so many things that are, you know, vying for our attention, whether it's through media, whatever it is. That's calling us to just to kind of conform to the world, which is that's the whole Romans 12 thing. Don't be conformed to the world, but be holy. And so to be holy means to be set apart. And so it's being different than the rest of the world. So in what ways is God calling you personally to be different, to be set apart, to be holy, to walk in this Leviticus 19:1, be a holy people so that you can walk with God, that you can have this love relationship with God. It's not two separate things.
Yeah.
Is what I want to emphasize. It's one and the same. We walk in holiness so that we can walk closer to God and we can love him.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a truth here that's just real. Excuse me. That, you know, it says be in the world but not of it and separate, right? So we have the separate and this in the world. And so how do we walk that out? You know, for me, being in the world but not of it is like not having the smell of smoke, like on us, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, they were in the fire. And when they came out, it was a Holy Spirit thing that they didn't even have the smell of smoke. Like none of their clothes were burned. And I feel like this is just such an important thing, you know, because we could, you know, pull ourselves away from the world. And for a certain time, you know, until we are built up in our faith, that might be necessary. You know, if you're coming out of addictions or you're coming out of a real family feud, you know, you need some time to heal, you know, and then extend that forgiveness and then re-enter that. But we can never stay isolated. I don't believe that's God's calling, right, on any of us to stay isolated to the point where we don't have that ability to impact the world for the gospel, for the sake of Jesus Christ. So I think that the truth in this is that, yes, we're supposed to be different, but still actively apart of those that are around us. And so I think that's just a little bit, there's a medium, there's a place for both of those parts in your life. So I just wanted to add that.
Yeah, amen. Moving on, Ephesians 5:27, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. And if we look at the context of this, it's talking about husbands and wives, but it's saying that by the washing of the word, right? And so we just want to be washed in God's word, that our minds would be renewed. But the point of that, if you look in this passage here in Ephesians 5, is that we would be holy. You know, as we're getting washed with the word, it's that we'd be holy and without blemish. So there's this cleansing of our minds, the cleansing of our hearts that God does as we get into his word. And so, amen. As we're speaking these scriptures, may you just be washed. May you be washed with the word of God, amen. And your mind be renewed. Colossians 1:21, and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he is reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. And so this calling here, Yeshua, is he died. He broke the power of the enemy so that we could be presented as holy people. And so just wanted to emphasize that too. Sometimes I believe, what do you call it, a sloppy gospel message? It would be that Yeshua died so that we could just have freedom to sin and just to continue, you know, in wickedness. But no, this verse is making it clear that he, you know, in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy. Just let's read that again. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he is reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. So he did this work on the cross in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. And so just continue with these passages. These passages are encouraging us to walk in holiness. And I just love this, and there's a number of passages like this in the New Testament that talk about the cross and how the purpose of it is to make us holy, is to make us blameless. And, you know, we sometimes in a sloppy presentation, I believe, of the gospel is like, you know, the cross is kind of your get out of jail free card, and then you can just continue, you know, life as you wish.
Right.
But we don't see that at all in the New Testament passages talking about the cross. The cross broke the power of sin, so you don't have to, it doesn't have to rule your life anymore.
Yeah.
And that's what we see here. God is reconciling us to himself, and God, as we're talking about in these passages, is holy. He wants to be with us as a holy God. And so just emphasizing that the cross is, he's reconciling us to God in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy. Yeshua wants to present us as his people as holy to God.
Yeah.
And he's doing that through that work of the cross that he accomplished. And so don't ever let anyone minimize the power of the cross to transform your life from the inside out. It's the power of God.
Yeah, amen. I think it's important, you know, when we come to faith, you know, when our and I think that when we see all these verses that talk about, you know, my grace is sufficient for you, or, you know, covers a multitude of sins, you know, or, you know, we have these verses that talk about how there is a removal of, as far as the east is from the west, so far of our sins been removed from us, and it's only a work of the cross or Yeshua that cleanses us from righteousness, right? Because when we come to faith in Christ, when we make that confession of faith, we have done really nothing but step out in faith, and that brings salvation for us, that brings cleansing, right? And so in that aspect, we are made cleansed by just an act of faith. Like, there's no righteousness on our part. Right? That's the beauty of salvation. You don't have to have steps 1, 2, 3, 4 and then come to salvation. You know, you can just confess the Lord Yeshua Messiah, Jesus Christ, as your Savior. He died and rose again on the third day. That he is the Son of God, and that brings righteousness to you. And just like that, just instantly you are made righteous before the Lord.
Today you will be with me in paradise.
Today you will be with me in paradise, right? There's an element of when we come and we confess our sins to the Lord, and the faith in Jesus Christ, and that, then we're made righteous. But that is so that we continue to walk in righteousness, right? There's this shift that says that, well, that atoning work is going to continue to carry us through, when in reality, if our lives don't change to the image of Christ, then we really have not died in the grave, right? That whole idea and the analogy of the us going into the grave and Christ rising, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me, right? Christ was not a minister of sin. Christ was not someone who walked in sin. And so if we're walking in sin, that's a testament that our old man has not fully died, and we need to continue to crucify that and allow Christ to live in us. So I just want to make that distinction there. It's important to know that we can come to the cross from a place of being lost, and righteousness is given to us. His righteousness, yeah. Right? Our righteousness is filthy rags. But by that, he is glorified, and that is the testimony of that our conversion is sincere and we have been signed and sealed, is that we are being changed, ever changing from glory to glory. So I just wanted to put that in there too.
Yeah, that's great. Let's look at a few more passages. Is 1 Timothy 2:8. I desire, therefore, that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So Paul, here again, holy hands. You know, these hands that we have are meant to be used for holy things. Mm. Lift up holy hands. Hebrews 7:26. For such a high priest, this is speaking of Yeshua, for such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. And just as a companion passage for that, Revelation 3:1, these things says he who is holy, he who is true. So these passages are telling us Yeshua is holy. He is set apart. As we follow him, as we consider him our rabbi, you could say, or we consider him the one that we're looking to as an example, he is holy. And so we seek to follow his example. We look at his life through the gospels. We see what holiness looks like. Mm. As we look at him, as we see the way he lived. And so he is holy. He's calling us to holiness.
Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah.
1 Peter 1:14, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, he's going to quote right out of Leviticus 19, be holy for I am holy. Here, Peter's quoting right out of Leviticus 19, God's calling us to holiness. And I just want to encourage all of you out there, you know, as we think of holiness, sometimes we think of, you know, holy man, and he's the guy that's austere, distant, not connected to this world. No, as I mentioned before, Yeshua, he is our example. He is holy. And as we read the Gospels, we don't see him just being totally disconnected from humanity. Mm. He's right there, down in the dirt. He's with the people, and he's walking in holiness. He's a holy man. And so, you know, we're trying to champion the cause of happy holiness, as we, you know, our t-shirts say, happy holiness, that God would grant you that grace. You know, Psalm 45, one of my favorite psalms, it says Yeshua, he's anointed with the oil of gladness because he loves righteousness. Mm. He loves holiness. Yeah. That's one of his defining characteristics. He loves this. And so as we know him, as we seek to follow him, I believe he's going to give us that desire, that deep longing for holiness. And so We encourage you. Walk in holiness. There is joy in it. There is life in it. Be blessed.
Amen. Yes. As we're doing this series also on the Torah portion, you know, the law of God, you know, teaches us what is righteousness, what is holiness, right? And so it's so amazing that we're going to get into this, you know, because we can see, you know, God's law coming forth, you know, out of Zion, out of his holy word. And we want to find the holiness that his holiness, right? His truth, as we were talking about last week, talking about he will judge the nations with his truth. And so excited about that. And blessings to you all. Hope that you're blessed this Shabbat. And listen again over the next week and the next couple of weeks as we dig into God's word with a love and purity message. So this is Love and Purity Podcast, where we believe that hearing and obeying the voice of the Bridegroom King leads to the most abundant and joy-filled life. Peace. Shalom. Faith for salvation, ready to be